Hey, it's Tony and Jenny Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like this show, please consider helping us keep it on the air by becoming an EPP, that's an extra podcast person. You get a ton of bonus episodes and a brand new one every single week and exclusive video content as well.
It's only $5 a month and you can sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Without our EPPs, this show could not go on, and our expenses to keep the show going continue to go up. So if you like it and you want it to continue into the future, please consider signing up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get all of those exclusives. I can guarantee you will absolutely love them.
Thanks for helping keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air.
If you're already an EPP, thank you so much for the support. If you're not and you've been thinking about signing up, please do so now and allow us to continue to do this show for you every single day. Sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you so much for the support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a night terror is just a little too real for one couple. Curiosity gets the best of one listener with a ghost hunting app. A listener shares his sleep paralysis-like experience and why he knows it was definitely paranormal. And a creature crawling on the ceiling terrifies a young child. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hello.
Kids today, they just can't handle things crawling on their ceilings. Like, it's always a demon. It's always a demon.
I can't sleep if there's like a spider in the room and I know it and we haven't killed it. I have to find it and kill it because I just know it's going to get on me in the middle of the night.
Are you afraid that it's going to get on you, or are you afraid it's going to crawl into your ear hole and leave baby spiders that are then going to inhabit your brain?
Okay, it may be my ear hole that I don't want spider to crawl into.
Why don't you just say that?
Because
I don't want it to get on me. No, you're really afraid it's going to infest your brain.
No, I don't. I'm not worried about it infesting my brain. I just have this fear of things getting in my ears.
I don't like that.
Mm-mm.
Or my nose. Has there ever been issues with spiders or bugs getting into people's ear canals and causing serious issues to their brain?
I don't know about to their brain, but
I don't know.
I saw a big bug fly into my grandfather's ear one time, and it like messed up his balance and stuff. Then he was trying to get it out, and we had to get it out with tweezers. It was awful. Scared me to death.
How old were you?
Oh God, I was probably Livy's age. I was probably 8, 9.
So this is where the bug phobia began.
That's why I have to sleep with hair covering my ears, because somehow I think that will magically protect my ears, but I've done that since I was little. Now I can't sleep unless I have my hair covering up my ears.
Sure.
I know it doesn't work, but it's such a conditioned thing for me now.
Oh, it works. It works wonders. Just like banging sticks in the woods to ward away bears.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's right along those lines. We learned so much in the first 3.5 minutes of our show today. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us, or your phobia of bugs infesting your brain, whatever the case may be. We would absolutely love to hear it. Of course, you can also write it on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Our first letter today comes in from Uche. Look at that.
You butchered it last time.
Well, it's spelled U-C-H-E.
I'm sure everybody else knew exactly how to say it.
No, they didn't.
Yep. Everybody did.
They're all going to laugh at you. Hello, Tony and Jenny. I wrote you last time about the ghost my sister saw taking a jog on the beach via a camera. I had a laugh hearing all the different ways Tony could pronounce my name.
Told ya.
I can still come up with more if you'd like. When I first turned it on the air on your show, it was around 3 a.m. and my girlfriend and I were on a spooky drive from New York to Massachusetts. We were so excited to hear it and became an EPP member the next day. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. During that episode, you were talking about how cool it would be if there was some type of electronic device that you could put over your eyes or ears and possibly see or hear ghosts with it. I don't know if you're familiar with Google Glasses or if you can see ghosts with them, but that is definitely similar to what you're talking about. That'd be a cool selling point, though. Also, I brought up the possible involvement of extraterrestrials in a few of these stories. If you Google alien abductee symptoms, you'll come to find a lot of similarities to ghosts and hauntings. Some of the biggest signs include missing, unaccounted for time, sleep paralysis, psychic abilities, lights or orbs in the room. There are many types of ETs that interact with us, but one of the main types are the reptilians, which have many different names. They can make themselves physical or manipulate humans' minds into seeing loved ones that have passed when there's actually a nasty being standing there. They do many horrific things that are better left unsaid, and they have zero respect for human life. You start researching high-level secret societies, you'll come to find that they all have been interacting or mind-controlled with extraterrestrial or extra-dimensional beings. That being said, I feel like you guys are pretty accurate with your theories on these particular stories. Since this is a ghost story show, I also have another quick experience to share. Since I was little, a couple times a year, I have extremely vivid dreams. These dreams or visions consist of a dark entity or shadow person coming into my room and giving me sleep paralysis, and then getting really close to me. In the most recent dream one night, I was sleeping next to my girlfriend and woke up in the dream. My bedroom door opened, and a darker than dark, misty figure came into the room and was pulling my girlfriend away from me by her feet. I'm assuming that was a shadow person. I was holding her hands and screaming, "Let go, let go!" Right after that, my girlfriend woke me up because I was yelling in my sleep. She asked me what was wrong, and I nervously told her what I had just witnessed. A psychic that I occasionally see told me that these are called night terrors. He explained that night terrors are real events that happen on a different plane, right before your spirit re-enters your body when waking up. Sometimes certain people get stuck for a second and consciously see things in the next world. This could also possibly be an explanation for sleep paralysis. I hope this wasn't too long, and you guys literally have the best podcast, in my opinion. Makes me actually look forward to doing mundane, repetitive tasks. P.S. I highly suggest you and your listeners YouTube Simon Parks and Shadow Beings. He's done a lot of research on the subject and gives a lengthy insight into these entities.
Okay, so I kind of agree with the being in between two planes, possibly, with the night terrors.
I hope to God he's wrong.
You think?
I hope to God. I mean, well, that just makes it that much more terrifying.
Yeah.
Because it makes it more real than just, it's your mind playing tricks on you. It makes it, much more real.
Mm-hmm.
That's one I don't want to... It's not that I don't want to believe. It's not that I don't believe. It's that I just hope it's not right.
Okay.
It's an interesting theory.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it, for what we talk about on the show is as plausible as anything else we talk about. But that's one of those things where I don't think I'd want it to be that way if that's really what it is.
But could that account for astral projection?
Sure.
And knowing what places look like without having been there?
Mm-hmm.
Things like that?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's the scary part.
That is the scary part.
This is where you just stick your head in the sand and go, "Nope, not la 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 la. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you." And then you
sing Rick Astley to block out reality.
I love that quote.
is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes, I do.
Okay.
That's what I do.
Okay.
I did thought everyone kind of did that. You don't.
No, I don't.
Oh. Okay.
5 years in, I did not know that you did that.
I'd love to quote you on that.
Go for it.
Jenny says, "You sing Rick Astley to block out reality?" That's great. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go over to Jess. Hello, Tony and Jenny. This is Jess from Baltimore. I know everyone else says the same thing, but your podcast is absolutely wonderful. Thank you. I love the stories. The two of you have not only a great on-air real-life chemistry, but you are legitimately nice people. We got her fooled. Thank you for taking the time to make this show. That was fun. We hit it at the same time. I'm still working my way through all your back episodes, so this response is a little late, but you were asking if ghost detecting apps work. I had a ghost app about a year and a half ago, the Ghost Hunter M2. I was curious about a storage area, cat litter box room in the basement. Those are scary.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the ones that use the cat litter that doesn't have the perfume in it to make it, or odor eliminating cat litter.
Okay.
That's paranormal.
Okay.
Right there. I hate that room. I'm the one who takes care of the kitty litter, and every time I do, I feel like someone is looking right over my shoulder, but have never actually seen anything. Does this letter end with messages being written in the kitty litter?
It does not.
Damn.
Sorry.
I was going to say that's a brand new one.
Nope.
And then 666 was written in cat poo. My husband senses absolutely nothing. Both my husband and I have had friendly ghosts in previous homes separately, so he is open to the idea of ghost housemates. He just doesn't see one here. So armed with a Ghost Hunter M2, I head down the room, open the app part that is supposed to allow a ghost to take a random letter generator and make words. The app will then speak to the words to you in this creepy computerized voice. As soon as I walk in the storage room, it tells me, toilet. A little surprised, I agree, there's a litter box. Then it says, down. The kitty litter was at my feet. Not groundbreaking, I know, but interesting all the same. I think I got one other word that I wasn't sure meant anything while wandering the rest of the basement, but it wasn't till I headed up the narrow stairs that I got the word push. I didn't use the app down there again. For the next couple of days, I took the app into some of our other rooms in our house. Nothing made sense to me, but our house is almost 100 years old, and I don't know any of the history before 30 years ago. Somewhere about this time, I woke up one morning at 3:30 a.m. to a low snarling or growling noise in the hallway outside our bedroom. It was definitely not an animal that had somehow made its way into our city row house. If anything, it sounded like a goddamn tiger. Not sure what else to do. I prayed, and after about 30 seconds, it went away. At this point, I wasn't sure if maybe part of a bad dream hadn't, so I didn't pay it much mind. The second episode at exactly 3:30 a.m. happened several nights later and lasted longer. Our cat, which slept with us, perked up like she heard something as well and then headed off into the hallway to investigate. Terrified for her, I prayed and the growling stopped. I wasn't sure what to make of the occurrences, and since there was nothing else odd and my cat hadn't acted afraid, I chose to take a wait-and-see approach. One morning, I decided to use the Ghost app on my walk to the light rail station in the morning. This was during winter, so it was still dark and deserted out at 6:30 a.m. I'd barely gotten a word out of the app until towards the end of my walk, where a bridge crosses a river. Directly above this picturesque scene is an elevated highway. It's a rather pretty but very deserted area. Just as I was getting to the end of the bridge, where the embankment runs the 15 or so feet down to the river, till the silent. The app says the word rape. Scared the hell out of me, I have to say. On my walk home that evening, I tried the app again at the same location, but there were people coming off the train and cars driving by. I didn't get a word. The next morning, though, about halfway across the bridge, it said the word scared. After that, I stopped crossing the bridge on that side of the street. It was right after this that I woke up again at 3:30 a.m. I was wide awake from the get-go and heard the growl very clearly. My cat once again jumped off the bed and went to investigate. I was just reminding myself that if it was a negative entity, my cat wouldn't have gone near it. When I heard her yowl at the sound of her running the rest of the way down the hall and then the stairs, the growl changed to a horribly low and blood-chilling laugh. I shut my eyes hard and prayed fervently. The next day, I deleted the app and I haven't heard the growl since then. In conclusion, I'm not positive the app worked, but I definitely can't dismiss it. I'm also curious if anyone else has had a negative reaction to the use of a ghost app. Again, thank you, Jess.
You know, that's one thing you will probably never be able to prove unless some other type of technology or scientific breakthrough comes along is if those apps actually work or not.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, but if it scares you, you know, I wouldn't mess with it just because I find it kind of goes in the Ouija board category.
I think some are BS and I think some are legitimate tools mm-hmm. that you can use that actually are word generators, if you will. I think some are you have to literally, you know how to look at that code and dissect it and go, okay, how is this working? Is it supposed to just randomly generate words or is it like a program set that's going to hit?
Mm-hmm.
See, what would be hilarious and horrible at the same time is if you created an app. If I knew how to do this, I probably would, just for fun.
Okay.
Just then wait to see if someone like brings it and all you do is program it to say really scary words.
Okay.
There's just nothing mundane about it. It's like murder. You know, and just all sorts of horrible things. And it would be my voice saying it.
I was going to say, that's going to make it that much more impactful.
Exactly. Exactly. It would be like, beasts eat you. You know, it's just all sorts of horrible.
Okay.
Horrible things. And then every time you use it, people are scared out of their wits.
Uh-huh.
But then they tell everybody about it.
Yeah.
And everybody starts trying it because they're scared out of their wits because all it does is say these horrible, horrible things to them in a very scary voice.
Yeah.
Someone's going to do that now.
Probably so.
Just waiting for it. Let me know if you need my voice for it. I'll be happy to help. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it just says, Rick Astley.
Yeah. That's good.
Everything else this is more than Rick Astley. Jim writes, hey guys, Jim from upstate New York again. I have another quick story I wanted to tell you. First off, however, I want to thank you for reading my story and apologize for its
continuity. Continuity.
I was going to say continuality, but there's no L there. And then I see continuity. If I could read the words correctly. Oh, we'd have so much going on this show. Continuity and its grammar errors. I shall endeavor to write the story in a manner worthy of the show. This was my first apartment and my taste of freedom. I'd moved into a two-bedroom apartment with my best friend and his fiance. My room was across from their bedroom and was furnished sparsely. All I had was a mattress donated to me on the floor and an old computer which sat right next to my bed. At the time, I was going through what I would refer to as my goth days. Black clothes, heavy metal, gothic music, the whole deal. Now, on with the story. Hoping you said that line in a Casey Kasem voice. Almost. Now, on with the countdown. Number 40. When I go to bed, I like to close my bedroom door, mainly out of comfort, and a habit where I sleep with my back to it, and have an open door at my back that has always filled me with a sense of foreboding and dread. One night, shortly after falling asleep, I became instantly jerked wide awake. I realized that I couldn't move. My body seemed to have been shut down while my mind is racing to find an explanation. I couldn't scream out because my chest and throat were locked up. The only thing that seemed to be still alive was the frantic pounding of my heart. Behind me, I heard a noise that I quickly associated to my two dogs. But I had no dogs in this apartment at this moment. I've never felt such uncontrollable terror my entire life. I can only compare it to the story of the pit and the pendulum, and I was tied securely down, and somewhere behind me, the slow, angry machine had started to lower the slow-swinging blade down towards me. The sound was that of a large dog getting up groggily and stumbling forward while dragging its nails across the carpet. The sound then came closer, and whatever this was started sniffing the back of my neck in short, angry snorts. Its breath comes out in powerful and very warm shots, strong enough to move my long hair back and forth. I could feel the condensation starting to build up quick on the back of my neck. Whatever this thing was, I got the impression it was angrily challenging me to roll over and meet it eye to eye. I could feel its full weight now, and it sat on the bed behind me, causing my body to shift slightly towards it. At this moment, I knew this wasn't a dream or something psychological because I have never felt this sensation in my dreams before. My dreams are always surreal, and I always know right off the bat that I'm dreaming. In that dead, useless body of mine, I felt like this creature is inspecting me for several long minutes, but I assume it's only 30 seconds or so. I want to cry and blubber while it's behind me. I want to scream out anything just so long as I can have some small amount of control over myself. But I couldn't. I was frozen and terrified. All I can do is close my eyes and beg it to go away. In whimpers and pleads that I echoed in my head in frantic screams. Then it was gone. Simply gone. I could move, but I'm too afraid to. All I can do is focus on my breathing while this cool sensation came over my body. I compare it to the feeling you get when your leg falls asleep and slowly starts getting feeling back into it. When I did eventually roll over, I only saw an empty room and a partially open door. This happened again to me the next night, the exact jerking wide awake, but no four-limbed, limbered creature coming up behind me. Instead, I had gotten a clear image of an old lady on all fours, ragged and wearing a dirty white nightgown. She crawled towards me and started sniffing at me in quick, fierce snorts, the same roll over if you dare attitude. The same fear. Choking dread comes back over me. The feeling of being a wounded animal in front of a hungry predator. No one else in the house had ever experienced anything paranormal, so I can't compare, and I didn't share my two nights of terror with them, but I do know this happened and it wasn't sleep paralysis. Because both nights when I touched the back of the neck where this thing was breathing on me, my fingers had came away wet. I'm not sure if it visited me because I was depressed or if this creature was the same one that haunted me in my other house. All I do know is that it was real, and it still remains the most abstract and frightening experience I've ever had. We all went our separate ways shortly after these incidents occurred, moving out of this apartment complex and moving away from each other. But I still have more experiences to share. A few full-body shadow men walking around outside. A ghost hand creeping over my face. And a few other freaky things I can share. Just for giggles, and since you are both Titanic fans, I suggested giving the song The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald a listen to. I wanted to thank you for reading my story. Thanks to you both for the laughs and chills. And be well.
Okay, I think, as far as I can remember, this is the first story where a sleep paralysis type event happened, and it was two different entities, two different nights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, typically the same thing. I mean, both of these are pretty classic what people see, but usually you see one or you see the other, but to see them both, and then to have whatever wet fluid was on the back of his neck.
Yeah.
I think it's more than just sleep paralysis.
Yeah, I think there's probably more going on here. The fact that there was physical something going on, the fact that he was able to move and feel the fluid, that's usually not a sleep paralysis skill.
Yeah.
Paralysis being you're not able to move at all. Mm-hmm. And usually when it's done, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
If there's something sticking around from the sleep paralysis experience, fluid, that would lead you to believe that there's probably more to it. Unless it's just sweat and someone was, very anxious and scared. And, that could be a possibility, I suppose. But you can usually tell the difference between your own sweat and if there's something else back there.
Yeah, I would think so.
So I think that the judgment on that, is up to the person as far as what they believe they felt. But I think most of the times you can tell the difference between the two. Very, very creepy experience. Should we sing The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald now together?
No. We can't do that.
I have the harmonica in here somewhere. I think I have a harmonica in here somewhere.
I think you hid it somewhere else. The green one?
Yeah.
No.
Is that gone?
I think you put it in our nightstand.
Oh, yeah.
You hid it from Harper so she's not running around constantly playing it.
She loves playing the blues. She's like, I'm a little Harper. I like strawberries. My mom and dad do a ghost show. And it freaks me out.
That was awful.
That's what she does. Runs around the house.
Okay.
She has the soul of an old blues musician. She
okay.
does. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. If you like the show, please consider supporting it. It continues to sail on, honey, with your support.
What?
Sail on? Not Lionel Richie? Sail on, honey.
I'm not a Lionel Richie
never
fan.
Felt so good.
I'm just not.
You're missing out.
I know.
But it continues on with your support. Without our EPPs, the show would not be able to continue, and the costs continue to go up to make this show because more people are downloading it. And that's a good thing, but the costs, not so much. So with your support, we can continue doing the show for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Anonymous, hello. I will remain anonymous, but I love your podcast. I will share my blood-chilling encounters with you. When I was young, we lived in these large brown apartments that had 9 houses connected to each other. My room was on the 2nd floor. I had the master bedroom, which had a large closet and its own bathroom. I had a bunk bed, and since I was older than my sister, who rarely visited, I got top. I remember that I dreaded going to bed because every night, while I curled up in my small blanket, a black, skinny bug creature with a triangular-shaped head and large red glowing eyes would crawl along my ceiling, its head turned around so that its hands and feet could latch onto my ceiling. I remember the cold sweat that sprayed through my body and how scared I was. I couldn't tell my parents about it because I didn't have the verbal skills to explain the horror I had seen. Plus, it's not like they'd believe me anyways. Another time I dreamt I was in the basement and there was the creature sitting in the corner. It jumped at me and bit my hand. I immediately woke up, and in the light of the moon, I could see bite marks on my hand, and it was bleeding. The last thing I not only remember, but was told by my family as well, is that I was lying in my bed asleep, and all of a sudden my bed lifted into the air and thrown across my room, landed at a 90-degree angle. My dad woke up, ran into, at the sound of my desperate and horrible screaming. Even thinking about it makes me tear up, because I heard growling. I saw a face right above mine. There are many, many more stories, but these are the ones I remember the best.
I think we got something dark there.
Oh, it sounds like romper room.
Romper room?
That doesn't sound.
We've heard the triangle bug head thing before.
Have we?
Mm-hmm.
Meh.
I distinctly remember the bug with the triangle head.
I would venture to say something demonic.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting to be a triangle head. I'm thinking maybe that's mocking the Trinity with the 3 shape, or 3 points. I don't know. Interesting.
Okay.
It certainly, well, it follows the path of 3 knots.
Yeah, yeah.
The shape of a triangle. That's where I'm just kind of leading down the path of it being something dark.
Okay.
But that does not necessarily equate to having positive memories of childhood.
No, it doesn't.
How would that go in a therapist's office if you share that story?
It depends on the therapist.
Would they be accepting of that?
I think most probably would. You probably would have some that would want to maybe rule out anything else.
Sure. But if you have like a whole family confirming the bed flew across the room and yeah, it happened.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way to really argue that.
Right.
I'm sorry that they went through that. That would be disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
And something that probably haunts you for the rest of your life. Thank you for calling in or writing in and sharing that story with us. James says, back in the 1990s, way back, my family had an acquaintance. He was more my acquaintance than my family's. I was in my early 20s. He was an antique gun dealer from England in his 60s. Well, when the move to ban post-1860s pistols happened in England, he asked if I would store some very valuable items for him until he could sell them here or on the continent. They ranged in value from $2,500 to $10,000 plus. My parents said okay. And when they arrived, my late father started seeing a figure in the hallway at night.
a large dark figure and cloaked looking sort of like a monk, but definitely not a good monk. What you might call a shadow person. My father was Irish, the rest of my family identified as British American, but he was not very superstitious and regarded most hauntings as an overactive imagination or storytelling for a lark. He did think, though, it might have been caused by me and my little goth friends dabbling in the occult, which we did, but with no obvious success. Later we found out that one of the antique pistols was the personal property of a British officer killed when he stuck his head over a trench watching a sniper duel during World War I. English officers then had to buy their own equipment. It was sent back home along with his other personal effects, and now the family either had to sell it in Europe or the U.S., destroy it, or pay big storage fees. My father died of unrelated causes while this item was still in the house. When I asked the dealer about it, he acted nervous but dismissed the idea. We stopped being friendly shortly thereafter.
I think something was attached to the gun.
Yeah, it obviously saw quite a bit of strife.
Mm-hmm. And I bet that's pretty common.
Yeah.
With weapons that, you know, saw war, and even weapons that didn't see war that have been used in a crime of some mm-hmm. sort, I think that would be pretty common.
Yeah, I agree. Very interesting story. It makes you think twice if you're a collector of those things and you believe in the paranormal of what it is you're getting, especially if you don't necessarily know the history of what it is you're buying.
Yeah.
That could be kind of a scary proposition right there. 855-853-4802. That's our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. We would absolutely love to hear it. Let's go over to a caller and hear what they have to say. And by the way, if you like the show, please consider subscribing, signing up on the website, or on whatever platform it is you listen to, iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Spotify. Press the subscribe button, and then all the shows go directly to you. Let's go to Molly in New York. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Molly from upstate New York, and I love your show. You guys are awesome. But here's my ghost story / creepy story. So my buddies and I go to this abandoned road out in upstate New York called Whiskey Hollow all the time. Supposedly it's haunted by a man and his wife who supposedly haunted the road. He died on the road, blah, blah, blah. But otherwise, there was a night where we were walking. It was a nice moonlit summer night, actually about 4 summers ago. So we're walking and we spot lights on the road. Now, unfortunately, you're not supposed to be here after dark. That's in such rules, whatever. So, that being said, we all dart into the woods. Now, the legend of the road is that they locked a gentleman in the cabin who supposedly haunts the road now, who died in that cabin. And since then, the cabin's been torn down. So, as we're hiding in the road, from the road, all of a sudden a tree branch falls down from nowhere. And like I said, it was a quiet moonlit night, nothing. And so as the car passes by, we turn on all our lights and we are in the remnants of the cabin, bricks, everything. It was unbelievable. So my friend, who unfortunately likes to take things from areas which I totally disagree with, took a brick. I was nervous. We were all nervous. We're walking towards the end of the road. This is in the middle of the woods. And it starts raining, like thunderstorming, lightning, crazy stuff. And I hear people yelling from the woods, yelling at us out of anger. It was so strange. Lo and behold, we get to the end of the road and stop then. No lightning, no rain, no wind, no nothing. So we get back to my car won't start, and I blame it all on that brick that he took. Finally, my car starts, and then I get stuck. It was just, I was so angry that he took that, because I'm pretty sure that the man who died in the cabin was angry and just took it out on us. So, and finally we got out of there. I told my friend to never take something from an area again, and since then he hasn't. So, but anyways, I love your guys' show. Keep it up. Hopefully I'll be an EPP quite soon. And I look forward to hearing your next ghost show. All right. Love you guys.
Thanks for calling in and sharing your story. It's one of those interesting things when you're in a situation like that and you want to take home a souvenir to remember the special occasion by or the traumatic occasion by. Sometimes you think nothing of it, especially if not much is going on. But sometimes it's not until much later that you find out what the effects are, or just immediately like that, where, oh, look what happened. It's always best to sometimes leave things where they be and not necessarily take the items with us when exploring things like that. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny Brewski. This is Marissa. I live somewhere in Southern California. And I wrote a story in before about my experience as a teenager, and I hope you get to that at some point. There's no rush on that. But I did say in that story that a lot of my family are very much sensitive. We all have some kind of sensitivity, medium, empath, clairvoyance, I guess you could go as far as saying. The reason I'm calling is that just a second ago we had something happened here in an apartment I share with my boyfriend and brothers. We have a motion-sensitive light in our restroom, and it only goes on if you walk in there and things like that. Well, both me and my boyfriend are in the living room watching Game of Thrones finale, and the light went off in the bathroom. It's best to note that both my brothers are out of the house right now. We don't have any pets of any kind. And it just kind of flicked on. And it's not the first instance that we've had something happen. There have been little things here and there. Before I went to go see a movie, The Insidious Chapter 3, and I just kind of wrote them off as, oh, there's just something playing around or whatever. But when I went to go see Insidious, I had a tugging on my pant leg, which I couldn't clarify where it came from. It wasn't caught on anything, but that's what I chalked it up to. And then I work nights, the graveyard shift, at a grocery store out here, and I seem to be encountering kind of like a person. I kind of see them out of the corner of my eye at the end of aisles, poking their head around, but when I go to check, there's nobody walking by. And anybody within yelling distance is like, no, I'm not even anywhere near there. So there's that going on. And I just thought I would share that, and if anything else happens, I will totally call again, and I'll probably call again to talk about any of my previous experiences. Thank you. Have a great night, day, whenever you're listening to this. Bye-bye.
Okay, so either she's probably sensitive or something's following her, and at that point when you have something in your home and something in your workplace, does it even matter if it's the same thing following you or if it's different entities?
I would think it probably would be connected at some way, mm-hmm. if in fact something is following you. Or, I mean, that's where you kind of have to determine, or she has to determine, is she just sensitive to these things no matter where she goes?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it in fact something that is following her around?
But does it even really matter at that point?
I think it matters depending on what it is.
Okay.
If it's multiple things, if one of them is, you know, harmless, if you're just sensitive to the undead that are just, you know, wandering around, they're everywhere, or if this is something that is literally lurking and kind of stalking her.
Mm-hmm.
That's where, you know, there's some cause to be concerned. I don't know. It's too hard to tell right now what exactly that is, because it does seem to be kind of a little different.
It does.
From place to place. I almost lean towards maybe her just being more sensitive mm-hmm. than this being like something dark stalking her, but you know, I'm not the one to be judging that for sure.
Yeah.
But very interesting story. Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. The phone number is 855-853-4802. If you'd like to share a real ghost story with us, we would love to hear it. Let's go with another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tommy. Hi, Jenny. So this is not like the most exciting thing that's happened. Well, kind of, I guess. But I figured you guys wanted to hear it. I work at one of the big chain clothing groceries. Stores. I can't exactly say which one, I'm sorry, but we have to, whenever we sign in, we have to do a time clock and we have to press these buttons in order to do that. And I was on my break, I'm sitting across from the time clock. One of my managers is in the computer room that's right next to it. And suddenly we just hear this kind of clicking, the beeping noise that you hear from the time clock. I'm assuming that it's my manager messing with one of those PDF things where, you know, you scan an item to see how much it is or where it is. And so I'm assuming that she's messing with that until I hear the distinctive sound of something being rejected whenever they said that the code for the employees was rejected, it makes a certain sound. So I look up and suddenly my manager gets up and she starts like walking as fast as she can toward the time clock, and I got up and checked it out myself. And it just keeps going, and then it reads that the employee number has been rejected. And it just keeps doing this, and we're just like, oh my God, what is going on? So I feel my hand next to the buttons going, okay, if there is something here, there's going to be a cold draft, or there'll be something that is doing this. So I put my hand there, it's kind of warm, so I'm like, okay. And then my manager goes, oh my God, we're haunted. I swear, we're haunted. I go, no, there's no cold draft. There's no cold spot to prove this. You know, we're not haunted. Suddenly, as soon as I say that, my hand starts getting really, really cold. And I'm like, okay. And, of course, I don't want to scare her, so I'm like, yeah, it's not, you know. Well, I'm thinking of, you know, I start thinking about, okay, what could be going on, you know. And I go in for my lunch break, and I just put my hand over there for a couple minutes, and my hand doesn't get cold again. Like, I thought maybe the AC was hitting the time clock, you know, air circulation, that sort of thing. So I put my hand, so I decided to experiment, and that wasn't it. So according to a couple of my other bosses, we have a spirit here at the store. Kind of cool, honestly. Anyway, I wanted to let y'all know, I had to wait till I was on my lunch break to let y'all know. All right, thanks, bye.
I bet you $5 it's a Target.
Why do you say Target?
Because we've had other haunted Target stories.
We have.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I bet you it's a Target.
I get creepier vibes in Walmart.
I don't know why.
I don't know. I think it's harsher lighting.
I think so.
Honestly, yeah. And I'm not saying anything about the people. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying if you were in... If you had to choose which of the two stores of, major big box stores mm-hmm. to be in, and in a power outage, what one would you rather be inside of?
Well, I don't know about some of the older Walmarts, but the new ones have skylights and mm-hmm. a lot of them. So
sure.
I'd rather be in there.
Okay. It does get a little, it is bright when the lights do go out because you still have the skylights in there. But it kind of gives it a, I don't know, it's kind of an odd, you know, filter to it. You mm-hmm. know, horror movies, you know, there's a lot of camera filters you can put over or mm-hmm. run them digitally that kind of give it that bluish tone.
Mm-hmm.
Very, you know, subtle, but it makes it grayish blue and just, you know, softer.
Yeah.
But creepy softer. That's kind of the tone that I feel inside of a Walmart, especially when the lights go out. I've been in both now
mm-hmm.
in power outages. And Walmart, even with the lights, it just kind of like gets weird. It's like it's, you know, it's silent. There's that weird tone to it because there is still light on. When I was in the Target and the power all went out, it got dark, but it's still like, I don't know. There's something comforting about it being Target. It's just like, oh, look, there's a little puppy over there, you know, the dog. And it was just more like, I don't know, welcoming. I don't know. It's an interesting test of a store's comfort level is if Walmart could get the comfort level of their store up to that of a Target, they already do great as it is, but would it increase it that much more of people buying because they feel warmer and more comfortable there? I feel warmer and more comfortable in a Target.
I don't know. Maybe it's because we physically have a Target closer to our house, so I tend to go there more than I go to Walmart down the road.
Yeah.
But I know she probably can't tell, but I would bet $5 that that is a Target that she's talking about.
Okay. I don't know why they're more prone to the undead.
I don't know.
Interesting stuff. 855-853-4802. I think entirely too much about which I'm more comfortable in, I think. After having that conversation.
That was pretty random.
I never thought that deeply about my comfort level in Target or Walmart until that moment. I'm glad we got that settled. Let's get another caller. Hi, you're on the show.
Hi. So, my father, back in the 70s, was married to another woman. He was in Studio City, California. It was a spring or summer day. It was, like, really warm. He was laying in bed, kind of in this, like, twilight slumber, kind of sort of awake, but not really. And he remembers that he felt something there standing at the end of his bed. And he slowly opened his eyes and looked at the foot of the bed. And there was a figure standing there, surrounded, like, by this glowing aura. He couldn't see the face, but he could definitely tell that it was a man. And being that he was sort of half asleep, he kind of just sat there and stared at it for a while. And finally, he couldn't take it anymore, and he sat up. And as he did that, the figure came at him, and he fell back, and it came over him and kind of burst into nothingness. And he looks over at his then wife and says, "Did you see that?" And she looks at him and says, "Yes." And this whole time, they hadn't had any kind of interaction, hadn't said anything. And she said, "I saw a man standing at the end of the bed wearing a fedora, and he had a Weimaraner on a leash next to him, which my father couldn't see." And the creepy thing is, his father had passed away years before and had been really self-conscious about being bald. And he always wore a fedora on his head. And my father's favorite dog that had just died a couple months previously to this event was a Weimaraner. And it was the only Weimaraner he has ever had. So he's pretty sure that it was his father standing at the end of his bed, maybe saying that he had his dog and that the dog was safe or whatever. So, yeah. That was the instance that my father had, and he's had countless other instances throughout his life with feeling spirits around him, flying in gliders, feeling like someone was there behind him in the back seat, or being at work and having voices call his name, and as soon as he would leave, something terrible would happen right where he was that could have killed him or seriously maimed him. So, yeah, thank you.
It sounds like the dad is still being looked after by his father.
I think that's kind of a comforting story, especially when you get to have the dog, too.
Yeah. I wonder if you get all your pets back when you die.
Be a lot of pets.
That would be a lot of pets.
What if you don't want all your pets back when you die?
I don't know.
That's my question. Like, what if there's one you're just like, yeah, you can, you know, we don't really need you back.
Maybe the pet gets to choose.
Wouldn't that be interesting? And then they put you in cages.
I'm just saying whether or not if that bond is mutual, then you get your pet back. If not, it can go wherever it wants.
And the pet can just go somewhere, yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I'd almost imagine it's kind of like, you know, we were talking today about somebody with a lantern. Mm-hmm. You know, the lantern was something that they used on a frequent basis. The lantern seemed to come back with the person. I would imagine if you're that close to the pet or an animal, I would think that that also kind of, you know, constitutes that.
I would think so.
There's a strong bond there. One more call before we wrap up the show for today. Johnny, hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Johnny again. I called you guys yesterday about my mom being held down by whatever that was. I work at a heating and cooling company here in town, and the house I'm at right now, there's a dark shadow all over. It just won't let up. I'm alone here right now, so. I remember yesterday when I was here alone, I saw a cat. It was a Siamese cat. Whenever it would move, it was white. And whenever I didn't see it, I'd hear it hissing. And then I started seeing the shadow. And the shadow, I would hear, like, it was trying to shoo the cat away. But the shadow, when that showed up, I started getting a real intense feeling of, it was just not right. I'm still seeing it right now. I just had to step out for a minute because it's just really intense. And okay. I'll keep you guys updated. Bye.
Don't talk to the shadow.
No.
I would recommend not interacting with it in any way, shape, or form because you don't know what it is.
I don't think he... Did he talk to it?
No, I don't think so.
The shadow was telling the cat to be quiet.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just don't talk to it.
You don't know. Mm-hmm. And I'm with them shadow people. But seriously, you don't. I mean, that's, you know, some are good, some are bad, and it can... If you can have no reason to interact, I'd keep it that way.
Right.
Interesting story. Thank you for calling in and sharing that with us as it was going on. I always enjoy hearing those stories. If you like the show, please help keep us on the air. Seriously, we need your support. We need EPPs to do that. You sign up on the website, Real Ghost Stories Online. Click Become an EPP. Get access to all of our bonus material and more. It's good stuff. $5 a month is all it costs. You get 40-some bonus episodes there right off the bat, exclusive video content, and more stuff pops up every single week. You get the satisfaction of keeping this thing going. Because without that, it all ends. It all dies. Let's not let it die.
I'm just going to let you go with that, wherever it takes you.
I should do more sound effects.
I don't think so.
Make it like a movie trailer. As we go. I wish I was like, I was watching something on CBS Sunday Morning the other day with the guy with, he had a big Wurlitzer organ, and he would play to the old movies. Uh-huh. We should have one in here. And I can just, as I say things, I can adjust the effects in the organ music. And that'll be great fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Anyhow, what I'm saying, help us keep the show on the air. Sign up to become an EPP. RealGhostStoriesOnline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.